Chapter 79. Was no home to her now. Her father was bitter to her, and harsh upon her, and though Mrs. Swankert was well enough in her way, 'twas a sort of cold politeness that was not worth much, and the little thing had a worrying time of it altogether. About a month before the wedding, she and my lord and the two children used to ride about together upon horseback, and a very pretty sight they were. And if you'll believe me, I never saw him once with her, unless the children were with her too, which made the courting so strange looking. Eh, and my lord is so handsome, you know, so that at last I think she rather liked him, and I have seen her smile, and blush a bit at things he said. He wanted her the more, because the children did, for everybody could see that she would be a most tender mother to them, and friend and playmate too. And my lord is not only handsome, but a splendid courter, and up to all the ways out. So he made her the beautifulest presents. Ah, one I can mind, a lovely bracelet, with diamonds and emeralds. Oh, how red her face came when she saw it. The old roses came back to her cheeks for a minute or two then. I helped dress her the day we both were married. It was the last service I did her, poor child. When she was ready, I ran upstairs, and slipped on my own wedding gown, and away they went, and away went Martin and I, and no sooner had my lord and my lady been married than the parson married us. It was a very quiet pair of weddings, hardly anybody knew it. Well, hope will hold its own in a young heart, if so be it can, and my lady freshened up a bit, for my lord was so handsome and kind. How came she to die, and away from home? Murmured Knight. Don't you see, sir, she fell off again afore they'd been married long, and my lord took her abroad for change of scene. They were coming home, and had got as far as London, when she was taken very ill, and couldn't be moved, and there she died. Was he very fond of her? What, my lord? Oh, he was. Very fond of her? Very, beyond everything. Not suddenly, but by slow degrees. 'Twas her nature to win people more when they knew her well. He'd have died for her, I believe. Poor my lord, he's heartbroken now. The funeral is tomorrow? Yes. My husband is now at the vault with the masons, opening the steps and cleaning down the walls. The next day two men walked up the familiar valley from Castle Botterill to Easton Delstow Church. And when the funeral was over, and everyone had left the lawn-like churchyard, the pair went softly down the steps of the Luxellian vault, and under the low-groined arches they had beheld once before, lit up then as now. In the new niche of the crypt, lay a rather new coffin, which had lost some of its luster, and a newer coffin still, bright and untarnished in the slightest degree. Beside the latter, was the dark form of a man, kneeling on the damp floor, his body flung across the coffin, his hands clasped, and his whole frame seemingly given up in utter abandonment to grief. He was still younger, perhaps, than Knight, and even now showed how graceful was his figure and symmetrical his build. He murmured a prayer half aloud, and was quite unconscious that two others were standing within a few yards of him. Knight and Stephen had advanced to where they once stood beside Elfright on the day all three had met there, before as he had herself gone down into silence like her ancestors, and shut her bright blue eyes forever. Not until then did they see the kneeling figure in the dim light. Knight instantly recognized the mourner as Lord Luxellian, the bereaved husband of Elfried. They felt themselves to be intruders. Knight pressed Stephen back, and they silently withdrew as they had entered. Come away, he said, in a broken voice. We have no right to be there. Another stands before us nearer to her than we. And side by side they both retraced their steps down the gray still valley to Castle Botterill. The end of the Project Gutenberg text of Hardy's A Pair of Blue Eyes. Blue by Gutenberg Edition.